Welcome to the Sportscast, October 27th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, Periscope, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And of course, visit our website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or download our app, The Sportscast for iOS. Today, we are interviewing a old guest. He's been here before. Sean. Hostile. He is from the BTR Boxing. And he has come out with a series, The Darker Side of he'll explain it to you guys, but he is here joining us from the Sportscast. Sean, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Pleasure as always, Santiago, to be back on the show. Dark Side of Boxing then, folks. I know we had a little chat, didn't we, earlier this year about the first season, once the first season had wrapped up. So I think it is what it says it is, really, in the name. The Darker Side of Boxing is all about the stories that have happened predominantly inside and outside of the ring, stories about certain characters within the sport that are synonymous with the sport and always attached to what boxing is as its entity. And the success of season one, the stories about Arturo Gatti, Carlos Monzon, Sonny Liston, James Butler and Sam Kellerman, and of course Ruben Hurricane Carter, they were all very well-known stories. So, you know, it was quite easy for us to do a season one with that well-known content out there. But it was always going to be a struggle to do a season two because it was what other stories are out there that we haven't already covered which fit into this category or this narrative? And you know, actually, when we sat down and thought about it and we did a bit of research, we actually found that there was probably a good three or four seasons worth of content out there, which is amazing, really. And, you know, we wanted to start the second season with a bang, really. We wanted to start it with a character, an individual that's attached to the sport, which many, many people know, many people respect, and many people know about the issues that surrounded that individual. And of course, it was Johnny Tapia we decided to do for the first episode, his life. And, you know, he lived so many years in such a short space of time. Within his 45 years he was on this planet, there were so many different stories and so much tragedy attached to his life. And, you know, we felt like we needed to make sure we got something like this out there, not just because, you know, he was addicted to cocaine throughout his boxing career outside of the ring, but more so about like who he was as an overall individual. You know, was he a bad man? Was he a good man? What happened in his life that made him as famous outside of the ring as he was inside of the ring? And I think like for us, we felt like we did that, and we felt like we've brought a lot to the table with that episode. And Santiago, I'm going to pass the mic back to you here because you've obviously listened to it now. You've had the opportunity to listen to it, and I'm we've not spoke before since you've listened to it, so I'm keen to know like what the reception is on the back of you listening to this.
Absolutely, as season one that I listened to, it was fantastic. And as you mentioned throughout these series episodes, you find out things that you don't know about. You know, yes, you see the championships they win, the titles, the belts, but the background story, it's tense. It is dark. Tapia, I have not heard in Tapia until you told me about it, and I listened to the episode this past 24 hours, actually almost twice I listened to it. And a lot of these boxers, you know, come from troubled homes sometimes. So tell us, why did you choose John Tapia? Was that something on the radar you had since season one, or you just were doing research and this guy, you know, was episode one?
So I've been a boxing fan for a long time. I was very much aware Johnny Tapia was a difficult character outside of the ring, and I wasn't really fully versed in what the issues were. I knew he had some issues with drugs outside of the ring before doing the research for it, But I never knew it was on the scale it was on. I never knew all the tragedies that he suffered as a result of his childhood and the environment that he grew up in. I never knew all that. You know, as a sole boxing fan, I wasn't really just looking at Johnny Tapia, you know, as this guy outside of the ring. I was only really sort of studying him as the fighter and as the championships that he won and the fights that he were involved in. And yeah, I knew he was a character, but I genuinely didn't know about his background. I never got the opportunity to read his book. He did do a book and brought that out in the mid to late 2000s. So I never got all these opportunities to do that. So when doing the research for this episode, it really educated me about Johnny Tapia, not just as a fighter in the ring, but as an individual outside of it and the trials and tribulations that he had growing up. And I felt like, you know, man, we've got to do Johnny Tapia. People talk about Johnny Tapia so well, and they have a lot of regard for Johnny Tapia. We need to do something on him which covers the dark side of his life, but also, I suppose, in some respects, it does kind of put him in a good light, because at the end of the episode, we kind of left it to everyone's, you know, perception of how you see Johnny Tapia. Do you think he's a bad man because he had all these substance abuse issues, or do you think it was he just managed to cope with what was going on in his life and in his childhood, and he managed to make a fantastic boxing career out of it?
That's something that I love. What you guys do is that you leave the audience to decide their perception of the boxer himself. That's something that I like. I think a lot of journalism out there is trying to push an agenda, you can say, or a point of view that could be negative or maybe too positive, depending. Johnny Tapia, as anyone know, he was a boxer from 88 to 2011, he's fought, you know, amazing fights out there. What I got out of it, he was very close to his mother and obviously his wife. Tell us, how important was that relationship within his family?
I think the relationships in his life were what kept him on the straight and narrow for as long as it did. And I think it kept him alive. I think, you know, spoiler alert, if anybody doesn't know about Johnny Tapia's past, doesn't know about his childhood, or hasn't listened to the episode yet, then you might want to go and listen to it before I start discussing what happens next. So what happens? Johnny Tapia's father is murdered when his mum's pregnant with him. He absolutely adores his mum. His mum brings him up in the right way, as he describes, so much love and affection for him. Unfortunately, his mum was brutally murdered. She was brutally attacked and then managed to survive and then got to the hospital. And then the person that had initially undertook the attack, or the persons, then went back and basically finished the job. And he was utterly, utterly devastated, utterly devastated. And at one point, you know, he did attempt suicide himself later on down the line, to try and get out and escape the pain that he was always in as a result of that. But he went from a really loving background, a really loving home, to his grandparents. Now, they were very strict disciplinarians, especially his granddad, Miguel. He was a really strict disciplinarian, and that was a huge change for him. So going from, you know, someone who sort of really dotes on his mother, and the mother dotes on the son and has this relationship the way she did with him, to going to somebody who's just the type of guy that had used them sort of roughhouse tactics on the children to sort of show the discipline levels and put them in line, so to speak. And he went from one extreme to another, is what I'm trying to get at here. And, you know, that put him in sort of stead for what he was going to do next with his fighting and his boxing career and being involved with gangs outside of the ring. But then he meets Teresa, his wife, when he was younger. And it was Teresa that sort of put him back on the straight and narrow again as best that she could. And it was, you know, down to Johnny's pain that he used to fuel the ammunition to get where he did in his boxing career. But I think it was also down to Teresa as well, being able to intervene as many times as she did to try and help him kick the habit, to try and get him on the straight and narrow so that he would go on to have a brilliant boxing career. And he did, to be fair, given what he did in the short space of time he was on this planet, he won titles in two different ways. And then you think about all the abuse that he put himself through throughout the years in between these fights, going missing for days, weeks, even months on end. Sometimes it makes you wonder, you know, how did he do this? How did he manage to get through this? And, you know, I was speaking on a show the other day on the ITR Boxing Channel. I was speaking to Luke there, and he sort of asked the question, you know, well, if he was a normal guy who didn't have substance abuses, then would he have been the fighter he was? And it was a good question, because, like, did he use all that ammunition, all that pain that he had in his life? Did it take him to that place that led him to be the boxer he was? There's so much there to sort of dwindle over. But, you know, this was sort of the relationship he had growing up. These were the two key figures in his life, his mum and his wife, Teresa. They kind of kept him where they needed to keep him up until, obviously, his mother, unfortunately, was murdered. And then his wife kept him on the straight and narrow all the way up until the end of his life.
Yeah, and I don't want to spoil the ending. Listen to the podcast. And how you guys go back and forth with your co-hosts is such good chemistry. Do you guys plan this out, or it kind of goes on naturally?
It's all planned. Listen, when we first started the podcast, you know, it was very much ad hoc. You know, we just do things between us back and forth. A lot of it was mainly, and I'm not ashamed to admit this, a lot of it was just based off memory alone. But then we found as we started to go more deeper into the stories, actually, there's a lot more here that we can bring to this podcast. We can tell stories, and that's what we've kind of molded all of our podcast into. They've gone from sort of just two guys, you know, genuinely chatting about their own memories, to actually going and doing a hell of a lot of research, putting a real story together and telling it in a way which is like listening to an audiobook. And I'm quite proud of where we've come from to where we are with it all now, because people love it. You know, it's always difficult, as you know, Santiago. You put these things together, you put the shows together, and then you want a good reaction. You want people to come back and say, actually, I enjoyed that. It was good. You know, I enjoyed this. And thanks for putting the effort in. And them type of comments mean the world to the pair of us, me and Johnston. You know, we absolutely love when we get positive comments like that. And don't get me wrong, YouTube, of all places, it's only YouTube we get all the negatives on. There is always people on YouTube that will find a way of criticizing maybe the way we've pronounced something, maybe the way we've had an opinion on something. But at the end of the day, everybody's right. Got, you know, they've got the right to their own opinions, right or wrong. Everybody's got their own freedom of speech when it comes down to the sport, when it comes down to individuals. If you don't agree with it, you know, you don't listen to it, you don't watch it. It's as simple as that. But, you know, we've come a long way, a very long way. And this second season has really started off so greatly for us. And we've not even got to see episode 2 yet. And episode 2 is a completely different story about an individual that I think, unless you probably from the UK, you guys over in the US and Canada, you might know who he is. You might know about him a little bit for one reason, but you won't know the story behind it. And I think that's what we've brought to the second episode. So I'm happy to divulge that second episode. And Santiago, obviously, you'll get to have a listen of it before everybody else. Podcast privilege, of course. So the second episode, guys, it's called The Trials and Tribulations of Randolph Turpin. Randy Turpin, just to quickly summarize, he was British champion, and he was the world middleweight champion in the 1950s. He famously defeated Sugar Ray Robinson when Sugar Ray Robinson came over to London as part of his European tour. Randy Turpin famously beat him, but that's not all he's known for. There's a lot of other stories behind Randy Turpin's life. And when you go through the course of that episode, hopefully we'll have taken you on a journey where actually you'll get to know a lot more about the man himself, about what he was like outside of the ring, as well as his career inside of the ring. And by the end of it, you'll again be left with your own sort of mixed emotions, I think.
Sean, what did you learn from season one? What did you learn from the reception and everything that you want to do different for season two, or you just want to continue that flow from season one into season two?
So season one was different in the sense that, say, the first half of it, the audio quality from Johnston's side wasn't as good because of the way we recorded. So this was well over 12 months ago now. Then we invested, thanks to the lovely patrons of our podcast. You know, they put their hands in the pocket, they supported us, and they still support us. And as a result of that, we were able to invest in better audio equipment from Johnston. So Johnston was able to get the same quality as what I had at my end. So first of all, that was a huge improvement and a huge noticeable change, not just on the darker side of boxing, but across the whole network. So I think that made a difference straight away. The quality, the listening quality straight away makes a huge difference. But then the stories, the detail, the level of detail gets greater and greater as the first season goes on. And by the end of it, you're getting 2-hour podcasts. And it's hard for us because we don't want to bore people. We don't want to, you know, do these long podcasts, really long ones. But if there's enough detail there, and it's detail that is relevant and it has to be put in because we feel it will add to the value of the story, and obviously it's all true detail, of course, you know, that has to be done. So if it's 1 to 2 hours, fantastic. If it's over 2 hours, so be it. You know, some people we do, some people we cover for our other pods, you know, they're like 2 hours long, 2.5 hours long. But if we don't put that information in, you can guarantee that, that people will say, well, why didn't you put that in? Or you missed this, or, you know, you could have done that. And we just try to do the best we can with the resources that we have. And I think people do appreciate the effort and the time that goes in it. So in terms of the pattern and the trend for season two, for us, it was all about this time round, making sure we identified a list of episodes that we want to do, who we want to do them on, and be a bit more prepared in the sense that we had our stories already panned out. We got our research in there early. And we've done that. We've done exactly that. And so far, it's played out really well. So our sort of plan is to release them pretty much every week now, rather than every 2 to 3 or every 3 to 4 weeks, which is something we've learned from the first season, is, you know, the consistency is the key. People want to hear one after the other after the other. We live in a generation of binge watching and binge listening now, don't we? So people want it straight away. They want it now, they want it yesterday, and we're trying to get it out there as quick as we can. So people that have been supporting us as part of the Patreon membership, you know, they've got the first couple of episodes before we released it to everybody else, because that was a thank you from us to them, really, to say, look, you've been supporting us for a long time. Here's a few episodes that are going to be out there before everybody else gets them. So, yeah, second episode, Randy Turpin, next Monday that comes out, general release. So it's going to be another good one. I'm genuinely excited for that, and I'm genuinely excited for the rest of the season, because there are some notable names that people will be aware of, and there are a couple that I think people are not going to be so much aware of, but when they listen to it and they walk away from the episodes, they're going to be feeling like they know this person inside out, they know about what happened with this person, and then again, they can be left feeling like, well, this is what I think about them. They can make their own judgments based on the factual information provided, as well as our opinions at the end of it.
Yeah, it is well done. I joke around with Sean. This is, as you know, probably way better. You probably can't find this on the BBC or in Sky Sports. This is well put together. Has there been drawn some interest from bigger players that maybe take this this podcast into another level, maybe?
There was a little bit of interest in the summer. I was quite excited because there was a genuine interest about turning the audio version of the podcast into a more visualized version, like a sort of Dark Side of the Ring style, like what Vice do with the wrestling side of things. There was genuine talks over that happening. That seemed to have fizzled out, unfortunately. So, you know, if anybody out there listening, anybody like is watching this broadcast and they think, you know, maybe we could help do something with this, then please do get in touch, because at the end of the day, this is the type of stuff that these big companies end up stealing off little guys like us, really. Little guys like us that are just, you know, doing this for fun and trying to bring something to the guys that love the sport, the guys and girls that love it. You know, it's bigger companies that end up coming along and snatching these types of things up, or basically using their own versions of the ideas, and it happens a lot. So if anybody out there wants to give, you know, a genuine network a chance and an opportunity for a show like this to go live, because just imagine, Santiago, imagine like this show, if it was on a Vice, or it was on a Netflix, or it was on an Amazon Prime, you know, something like that, something where people can consume it in that visual way, I think it would be an absolute hit. And in fact, I know it would be a hit. And I think that's what we're kind of pushing for. We think there's a lot of potential with this show, and it's you know, it's down to the big players out there to come to us and say, look, you know, actually, we see a lot of potential in your show. This is what we've got. If they have the resources to be able to put together something that I think could be phenomenal for fight fans across the world, and not just fight fans, I think it'd bring a casual audience, because you've not only got boxing fans out there, you've got a lot of true crime fans. Myself, true crime fan, I love true crime. Who doesn't want to mix the two together? Who doesn't want to hear these stories about these individuals that have got famous names in one way or another? Who doesn't want to hear that? I mean, everybody loves a bit of true crime. So I think this is the sort of thing that, you know, a big player would end up coming along and getting. We just hope it doesn't get stolen. The idea doesn't get stolen from us before we end up getting there ourselves.
Hopefully not. And of course, hopefully not. Your show might grow bigger and definitely maybe be on its own, and obviously could be as successful. So give us a preview. I know you gave us a preview for episode 2, but can you give us a sneak peek of the rest of the season, perhaps?
So, yeah, I can certainly do that. There's a couple of names I'll throw out there that I think people will probably be aware of. Oscar Bonavina is one of them. Fought Muhammad Ali, fought a lot of the great heavyweights of the Golden Era. He's in there. There's obviously stories surrounding Oscar Bonavina. The one in particular, Ayabuchi, I think I pronounced that right. If I've got it wrong, I'm sorry. Sometimes my pronunciation isn't the best. But Ike Ayabuchi, heavyweight from the 90s, had so much potential to be one of the big players and had so much of a fall. And you know, I'll give a little cheap plug to Hamilcar on here because they do produce some really good books with their authors. And the Ike Ayabuchi stories recently come out from their side. They've done Oscar Bonavini, they've done Johnny Tapia themselves. So, you know, there are other sort of materials out there that you can pick up. But we want to do this in our format in the way we do it. And I think Ike Ayabuchi, Oscar Bonavina is in there. Diego Corrales, the story of Diego Corrales is in the season as well. There's quite a few good ones that are going to be well known, but there are a couple like your Randy Turpins, Paul Sykes. People in Britain will know who Paul Sykes is. There's stories like that I think that will educate people like yourself, people that listen from across the world, that listen to the podcast, will get to hear very much about all these different characters that have been involved in the sport in some way, shape or form. And I really do hope you guys enjoy it. And I've always said it on our show, and I'll say it on yours. If you do, just let us know. You know, all it takes is a little cheap message and just say, look, enjoyed that. Great, thank you. But if it's a load of crap, then just tell us. You know, if nobody likes it, tell us. Because, hey, we're putting all these hours and this time into doing it, and we're only going to do it if people are listening and people are enjoying what we do. And as it stands, people do. So, yeah, we appreciate the support and appreciate people like yourself, Santiago, who use your own platform to provide us a chance to put this out there to other people as well.
No, Sean is fantastic. And, you know, once you listen to this, guys, it is like you're in a, which we were saying, in a true crime mystery feel to it. So it's kind of mixing sport with that. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, it feels like in like the 1950s movies, something like that. But definitely listen to the podcast. Current events, I do want to touch up on that before we go. What were your thoughts over the Tyson Fury versus the little match that we had about a couple of weeks ago? What were your thoughts?
Well, it was great, wasn't it? It was great. I think
Wilder versus Fury.
Yeah, I've got to say, it's one of the most entertaining fights in the heavyweight division in recent memory. People might be saying it's one of the greatest heavyweight fights. I'm not so sure it's one of the greatest heavyweight fights per se. I would definitely say excitement-wise, absolutely. By round six, I think the skill went out of the window for the pair of them, and I think it was all about heart and determination from the pair of them. And I'll give Deontay Wilder a lot of credit this time round for this fight, because I feel like he didn't essentially make any excuses so much in the aftermath. And he fought his heart out. And he, you know, he got knocked down multiple times. He got back up. He tried to fight his way till the end, until ultimately the fight was stopped and it was taken out of his hands. I've got to give him a lot of credit for that, because we wasn't sure whether he had the heart, whether he'd be able to keep getting up. And he did. And that's credit where credit's due for that. But still, Tyson Fury, I ultimately said I think he'd knock him out within 10 rounds. And I wasn't far wrong. I honestly thought, you know, he'll get to him again. But I honestly didn't expect Tyson Fury to go down twice in the same round either. So when he get put on his backside, he was like, oh my God, we've really got a fight on our hands here. This is unbelievable. So in terms of excitement levels, one of the greatest of the last 20 years, absolutely. One of the greatest of all time. I wouldn't say he's in the top 20. Not personally. There's probably 20 other fights that I could find out there that probably go above that. And then there's the argument about, obviously, Tyson Fury. Is he one of the greatest heavyweights of all time? Well, we did do a heavyweight debate on it a couple of weeks ago. So if anybody's interested, obviously, have a listen to that. But to summarise that on this show, you know, to summarise what we were talking about there was basically, is Tyson Fury, if he was doing a heavyweight sort of top 20, where would he sit now? And where would he sit if he goes on to beat the likes of Alexander Usyk and Anthony Joshua? Well, both myself and Johnston sort of struggled to get him in the top 20 as it stands. We feel like he does need to do more before he retires to push him into that top 20. And even if he did go on to do what we've suggested he would do, I think he'd probably within the top 15. He wouldn't make the top 10 for the pair of us. We've both agreed that he wouldn't make the top 10. Absolutely not. There's too many fighters in history that have done too much. And the most predominant thing to mention here is that we were basing it on certain parameters. So we were saying it was based on like accolades, championships won, the sort of the reign that they held. Whereas a lot of these top 10, top 20 lists that get done by the big outlets like your ESPNs and the Ring magazine, they don't really tell you what the parameters are of how they've put that top 10 together. And I think that's very important because it's very subjective to sit here and try and debate who the best fighters of all time are until you put a sort of a set of rules in place where it says, well, the reason we've done this list is because of how many championships they held, how many weights they were in and held championships, and how many wins, losses. However you want to do it, you've got to at least explain how you do it, because it makes more sense then. It makes more sense as to why you've put certain fighters where. So overall, brilliant fight. Landscape of the heavyweight division is fantastic at the moment. I'm really excited to see what happens next. Dillian White, as we know, was supposed to fight this coming weekend against Otto Wallin. Dillian White pulled out with a shoulder injury. Suspect, to be honest with you. And now he's talking about having this fight with Tyson Fury because he's mandatory.
Will that be the next fight, you think?
It looks that way. It's looking that way. A lot of the guys on Twitter in particular, a lot of the boxing heads on there that are very prominent, they are basically just saying that Dillian White has kind of, he's just pulled out on purpose because he knows he's guaranteed a shot at Fury, and taking this fight against Wallin is a huge risk because if he lost again, like he lost to Povetkin, could it be game over? Could he lose his mandatory position and it go to somebody else? Well, I think if you're Dillian White and you've worked ass off to get to this position now, you're not going to want to risk it, are you, really? So if he has pulled out with a bit of a nip on his shoulder because he knows he's got that fight with Tyson Fury, I wouldn't blame him, because that fight with Tyson Fury will happen in the UK. Bob Arum has already said, you know, that fight happens. It happens in the UK. It's not going to happen in the US because Dillian White hasn't really got a fan base in the US. So it makes sense to come over to the UK. Tyson Fury's then back in the UK for the first time in five fights, and it'll sell out Wembley. Simple as that. You know, two British guys, two British heavyweights. One's WBC champion. One's been waiting for his shot for a long time. It sells. It puts bums on seats. Makes good money. Of course, Mr. Bob Arum's going to come over here and do it. That's what's going to happen next, I think. And then Joshua looks like he's potentially linking up with Eddie Reynoso. That looks like it's pretty much a signed, sealed and delivered deal at the moment. There's so much speculation about that. And if he does that, that's a huge change for him because he's only ever been with his previous trainer or current trainer, Robert McCracken. So how will that affect Anthony Joshua's rematch with Alexander Usyk? Who knows?
Another fight that's buzzing that you might not think it's, you know, it's probably more entertainment more than anything. Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury. Thoughts on that? I know that will make money, but what are your thoughts about that fight if it happens?
I'll be honest with you. I've been highly critical of all this in the past. I think Jake Paul's actually got better as a boxer. I think he has. Like, being objective, trying to take myself away from the circus that surrounds it. You know, if you look at, some of the guys he's fought, it kind of seems like they've kind of been there for a payday. But in terms of his skill level, it looks like he has got a little bit better. It looks like he's becoming a little bit more accomplished in the ring. That's not to say Tommy Fury won't come in and expose him. Tommy Fury hasn't done a lot in his professional career of note himself yet. So he obviously has the Fury name. He has his following here in the UK because he was on a reality show called Love Island in the UK. So he's got his fan base built from that side of things more than he has his boxing career. And people might say he kind of lives off his brother's name, the Fury name. But he needs to make a mark himself, doesn't he? You know, if he beats this big YouTube sensation in Jake Paul and he ends the hype train, then where does that leave Jake Paul? Does he then decide to leave boxing after that? Or what happens if he wins? What happens if Jake Paul beats a legitimate boxer who's not transitioned from MMA, who's a legitimate from a boxing family, and he beats him? It makes me wonder, like, what happens next? I mean, have you seen Jake Paul's hit list? Have you seen the names that are on the hit list?
I believe Canelo is one of them.
Yeah. So just imagine, you know, it's. I know it's not the most entertaining of things, and it's. I am critical of the way it kind of can put a bit of a poor perception on elements of the sport. However, it would be interesting to see what would happen should these two get in the ring. And I kind of think of what happens if he actually beats a legitimate boxer. Where does he go then, Jake Paul? And what happens if, you know, Tommy Fury wins? Does that end the hype train of Jake Paul, or does it cause for something else? It is so many variables to that story there. But it's exciting, though. It's exciting to sort of see, you know, where things are progressing, because there seems to be a little bit of genuine and not just fabricated beef. It's genuine beef between them.
Yeah, definitely since Jake Paul beat Woodley, the conversation has changed. So Tommy Fury definitely in the mix. And his older brother said, hey, if you can't beat Jake Paul, you got to change your last name. Tyson Fury said that.
Imagine the embarrassment if he was Tommy Fury. I've met Tommy. I actually met Tommy before he turned pro at a local show. And he's a really nice guy. Honestly, he's a really nice lad. I'm not sure whether the newfound celebrity status that he has now has changed him, because I've not seen him since. So it probably would have been about 2018, 2019. And I met him. He was a really nice, down-to-earth guy, very humble. But obviously, celebrity status can do a lot to an individual, as we've seen. So I don't know what his mindset is now. I'd like to have seen him have more professional fights here in the UK. I'd like to have seen him have more challenges here in the UK with fighters. But I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure if he'll get to the same levels as what his brother has.
Yeah, Tommy has been involved with the reality show in England, I believe, and he fought a fight in August during the Jake Paul Woodley fight, and heard it wasn't too impressive, but you know, we'll see. There's an upcoming fight, Canelo versus Plant. What are your expectations for that?
Well, best fight of the year at the moment. You know, it's skill-wise, best fight of the year. There has been a couple of others. Chocolatito versus Gonzalez earlier this year was one of the great fights of the year. Obviously, Fury, Wilder 3, great fight of the year. I think Caleb Plant and Canelo is going to be another one. It's going to be very interesting to see how it pans out. I think a lot of people give Canelo the edge now after that bit of a kerfuffle in the press conference when Caleb Plant went to throw a shot at Canelo and Canelo slipped it and caught him, and then obviously had the cut under the eye, and it's created a lot of hype around this. Caleb Plant deserves his opportunity. You know, he's been the IBF champion for quite a while now. Canelo was to clean up that division and create more history and more of a legacy. I think Caleb Plant's got the attributes to beat him, but then so have other fighters with Canelo, the likes of Kovalev, you know, the likes of Callum Smith. You know, Callum Smith was such a bigger guy. And, you know, I give Callum Smith more of a chance than what he ended up doing in the ring. You know, he just seemed to be a bit overrun by Canelo's work rate and his variety of his punches and his body shots in particular are lethal. I think it's going to be a tough night for Caleb Plant. But if Caleb Plant has got the skills and the ability to do it, then this is his chance for me. At the moment, I just can't see anything other than a Canelo win. I just think he's so good. He's such a good fighter. He adapts so well to everybody that he gets put in the ring with. I just think he's probably this generation's once-in-a-lifetime fighter. You know, people talk about Pacquiao and they talk about Mayweather and they talk about fighters from the 90s, the once-in-a-generation guys. I think Canelo is that for us. I think we're living through the Canelo era, and in 20 years, when Canelo's career is said and done, we'll be talking about Canelo in retrospect, and we'll be saying like how good of a career he's had, and you never know, we might even be calling him the best Mexican fighter of all time.
Quite possible. Quite possible. Well, Sean, it's been a pleasure. Tell us about your new series, new season, and how can people find it and listen to it?
So Dark Side of Boxing is on Twitter. You can find it at darker_side_pod. The main network is the BTR Boxing Podcast Network. You can find that on all social media platforms. It'll literally link you to all the other shows. So it'll link you to our Legendary Night show, our Career Profile show, and of course, the Darker Side of Boxing. You can listen to it on Apple. You can listen to it on Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. It's pretty much on every major podcast outlet out there. So please do go and have a look at it, give it a listen, let us know what you think. If there's anything critical you can tell us about it, please do, because you know all we want to do is make the best shows out there possible for people to enjoy. And if people are telling us it's great, as far as we're concerned, we're doing a great job. But if they tell us there's something we need to change, then do tell us, because you know we are thick-skinned, we will take it on the chin, and we will try to change it to make it as best possible for you guys listening. Santiago, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on, facilitating us to come on and talk about the show once more, and talk about the fights that have happened and that are coming up. And it's always a pleasure speaking to you.
Honestly, Sean, you're always welcome back to the show. And of course, I'll probably see you a little bit later this year, maybe, and then possibly in the future to preview season 3, because I know this series is definitely gonna be a huge one. And Sean, what is the best way to reach you online personally to talk some boxing?
Well, if you want to speak some boxing with me, you can find me on Twitter at SeanBTRBoxing. It's spelled Sierra Echo Alpha November. I'll give you the phonetic alphabet. SeanBTRBoxing on Twitter mainly. I am on Facebook. You can find me on there, Sean Basto, if you do want to add me on there. I pretty much only allow people that are related to boxing or talk boxing on there. I don't really use it for personal reasons anymore. So they're the two places you can come to me directly if you want to speak about anything to do with the sport, about the shows, any ideas, sponsorships. Get them sponsorships out there. get in touch with me, guys. Whatever it is, you know, please, I'm always open to speak to people. Thanks so much again for listening. And Santiago, thank you again as well.
No problem. And of course, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or on our Twitter, thesportscast1, also Instagram. And make sure you check out Sean and like the BTR series and boxing series, Harker's Side of Boxing. So check it out. Sean, appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you.